This episode contains adult content. Listener discretion is advised. The MFG Cast presents Human. So yeah, you see all of these different things. You see all the pictures, all of the cutouts you see, or the newspaper cutouts, you see the outfits. You know, how does this make George feel?
Very uncomfortable. Because it seems that the preponderance of things in here revolve around me. Pictures of me and Charlene, pictures of me and Jane, you know, that kind of stuff, which... Like I just stop and think of like, well, why would this person be so focused on me and what I'm doing? Right. Like it doesn't make sense to me that someone would be this concerned. Right. Like, especially what I know about him, right. Like he's off living his best life, doing murder and whatever. Which doesn't really seem like our paths would cross, you know, for any particular reason, you know, unless he like obviously knows things that I don't know. So like, it may make complete sense, but like in my head, it's like, what the heck is this? I don't think he takes anything, but it doesn't look like anybody's been here in a while. Or, I mean, there's no evidence of someone being in here, which doesn't mean anything. You know what I mean? But it has that hollow kind of feeling like this has been abandoned or burnt or whatever, rightly or wrongly. Like, I think I almost feel like he just kind of pushes his cap up, just like, you know, like shakes his head like, damn. You know?
So before you can make your next move and you're just kind of perplexed on what's going to happen next, you hear glass shatter and you see what seems to be a bottle of some type fall into Paul Blanker's place. And before you can notice what it is, the room starts on fire.
Yeah. Okay.
Someone has thrown a Molotov cocktail into this area. If you want to, I will, you know what? I want you to roll me an awareness check.
I'm glad I just bumped that up.
Yeah, it's good timing, huh? I'm gonna have the DL be a 4.
I rolled a 6 plus 2 is 8.
Oh, nice. So you know, you do one of these things where you're like, okay, should I grab some evidence? Should I, you know, and you're also contemplating, how am I gonna get out of here? Well, it came out the window. That's where you came from. So like, the only other way is out through the front door. But also, which you're thinking, okay, yes. And then you also have to think, okay, do I leave my fingerprints on things? You know, so it's like, you broke in, a lot's happening. Before you head your way out, you notice that there is a picture along with these pictures and newspaper cutouts, and it's a group picture of 6 people sitting at a table outside, and included in the picture is Bill Jones, Chad Hermans, Matthew Johnson, Percy Levin, Michael Lee Frazier, and you. It's the 21st Infantry.
Son of a bitch.
You also see a old picture that is down on the bottom right-hand corner of everything that's there. And it's almost like it's off to its own side. Mm-hmm. It's a picture of a menacing, almost unruly nun with her hand on a small boy's shoulders. The boy is kind of almost trying to smile, but also gritting his teeth like he hates being in this picture. And behind them above a arch door, it says Davidson's Angels.
Okay. How are there multiple boxes of stuff? Or is it like one like copy box size?
As far as like the pictures and the clippings go?
Yeah.
From what you saw, it's all like it's almost all like they're all just like did they have like corkboard back then? They probably did, right?
I assume so.
Okay, so let's just say like everything, all those things are on corkboard basically.
It's not like a box of stuff.
Yeah, no, it's all kind of pinned up, except for like that other picture, the picture of the kid and the nun. Let's just say like that's in a frame down just on the table below it.
I grab that and the picture of the 21st, guys from the 21st. Okay. And then like I'll grab anything with me and Jane in it.
Okay.
Like he's not going to spend a lot of time, but like he was in here looking before the Molotov come through.
And yeah,
like,
for sure.
Those two are super important. And then yoink, yoink, yoink. I don't want this to be here.
Yeah. I think trying to think, should I make that your and? Because I feel bad making you make that your and, but no, I think since you know where everything is, I think you can grab that pretty easily.
Well, so the awareness was to find the other two pictures, right? I'm assuming. We can make that the end.
I will allow you to do that because I think there's a lot more other pressing things that you could use your and for. So yeah, yeah. I think using it to grab that other stuff is kind of moot at this point.
Okay. So I'll throw this and out then. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I make it out of the building before anybody notices.
That's a great and. And that's why I wanted to leave that and for you, hoping that you would pick that. Okay. So, otherwise, I would have had you roll for it instead.
Yeah. I didn't want to do that. So the shot is like over the shoulder into the closet. You know, George is going through all this stuff, you know, kind of picks up the picture of the kid, kind of looks at it and goes, oh, all right, well, maybe that's blanker. I'll look into that. And then his eyes flick over and see the picture of the 21st, son of a bitch, and grabs that just as you hear crash. And he turns because he's already on edge, right? And he turns to look and just whoosh, up the wall, you know, not where he is, but like the opposite wall, the window. And he's, oh, shit. And, you know, yoink, 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 you know, stuffs a bunch of shit in his pocket and then makes for the front door. Or, you know, the apartment door, cracks it, looks, nobody's coming, goes out. I think he relocks it, right? Like if it's a, you know, like if it's got the thumb lock, he'll lock the bottom, right? And then, yeah, it just beats feet out the door. And I think heads around to that side of the building. It might be a really bad idea, but...
To the back where you came in from?
Yes, I go out the back and around the corner to see if someone is still standing there.
Oh, gotcha.
I think it's a really bad idea, but...
Yeah, well, we're going to roll and find out. I'm going to roll for you and see if anybody's here. You know what? Pick high or low for me.
High.
Yes, there are a couple people out there. Let's say they're having an argument.
So, so I go out the back door with a caution, you know, with a look back around, and then I'll... you know, scamper over to the corner of the building and peek, right? Because if it's blanker standing there, it's really bad for me. So he would go up to the corner and then peek around to see if he's like standing there with his arms folded on his hip, like making sure that he catches or whatever. Can I make an awareness as a, like a listen to hear what they're arguing about? Or,
sure.
Or, and to see, like, is this someone who looks familiar to me or, you know,
yeah, for sure.
In shadow or whatever, you know, whatever.
Yeah, for sure. We'll have the DL be a 3.
That's going to be a 5, 6, 7.
Okay, perfect. It's no one you recognize. They're having an argument about money. The woman's like, it's a man and a woman, and the woman's, they seem like they're a couple or married or whatever. And, the lady's like, Steve, you're spending too much money on the weekdays. I'm very worried about you. And the guy's kind of like, Mary, it's fine. I just go out. I get a couple of drinks. It's fine. She's like, well, you've been spending a lot more money these days. You're not going to those special places again, are you? And he's like, no, you know me. You know, I'm the only one for you, baby. You know, that kind of thing. And it's like, it's a real, like, real terrible argument. And you could tell, like, she really loves him and he's a piece of shit. You could tell he's just lying through his teeth. Like, he's probably going to clubs and certain places and trying to find other women instead of her. And, you know, it's not a good argument.
Yeah. But they're not outside the window, right? Because obviously they can see the flame.
Yeah, for sure. No, they haven't noticed anything as of yet because they're entrenched in their argument.
Yeah. So they're further up or down the building from where the window is.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't want to be seen. So then I head the other way and then back around to the front.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, I won't even have you roll for that because they're too entrenched in their argument. You know, you go around the other corner, no one's there. you try to find your way out. You do. You maybe hear in the distance a little bit. You hear something go, "Oh my God, it's a fire!" You know, that kind of thing. You know, Mary finally is pulled out of her argument and she sees that the building is on fire. So.
I kind of want to use the and to say that I just get away then.
I mean, you could.
Two ands to just not have to deal with anything.
I am not opposed to that, really.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Right, because I don't want to be associated with this at all.
Yeah,
I grabbed a good portion of the pictures and stuff, so I'm not too worried. And his apartment is the source of the fire, so most of that stuff is probably gonna go. Like, I'm not overly concerned.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, how do you do it? Do you go, you know, three blocks over, three blocks down, take a cab? What do you, you know, how do you disguise yourself as not being part of the scene?
So when he comes back around to the front of the building, he's, you know, he said nobody's around. So he'll just hang a left, so it's away from the side of the building that's on fire, hands in his pockets, and casually stroll down the street and keep an eye out for a taxi cab. I'm assuming with the end, then, you know, it's not too long before, you know, a cab rolls by and he just, you know, sticks his hand out. And yes, I think he goes to the club. Like, I think I need a drink now.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, so like you're on the way or whatever, and the cabbie kind of is kind of like, he's like, oh man, it smells like you got some good smokes. You want to pass one over here? I'll take a little bit off your fare.
Oh yeah, for sure. Hold on one second. He like passes himself down, pulls out his pack of Lucky Strikes, and shakes one out for him. You know, leans through, flicks the lighter because the guy's driving.
Yeah, for sure. And he's like, oh, thanks, pal. I've been jonesing for one of these all day.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Here, like, he'll stick out two more and, like, put them in the console. I don't know if there's, like, a console. Like, I don't think they have cup holders back then, but, like, you know, he'll slide them where he can, you know, get at them.
Yeah, for sure. I want you to roll me another awareness check. I'm going to have it be a three again.
It's just like our fantasy.
Exactly. Awareness all day.
God damn, well, they're getting worse. I'm going to have to swap these dice. That's only a five. Still a ESN.
Only a five. Gosh, I only beat it by a lot. Okay. So the reason why he was kind of smelling is because you kind of smell a little bit fire. Like fire. Yeah. But he's not questioning it.
Sure. I mean, it winds up being the same, but I feel like the intention would be more of an insight. Like,
for sure. Yeah, like, I suppose you're,
you know, kind of cocks his head like, you smell, he probably, you got smokes? Oh yeah, he's probably smoked.
Yeah, exactly. So just so you're aware that that's what you smell like right now.
Yeah, I get it. Okay. Yeah, that's, I can't do anything about it. I roll the window down.
Yeah, I was going to say, smoke a bunch, get that stank on you instead.
I do so. since he's smoking, I open up the window and then I light a cigarette.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Yep. So nothing really happens between the cab ride and going to the glow. you get there and it's not one of the busier nights. There's a couple people, stragglers here and there. There's a house band that's actually playing today. It's Bob Gigolo and the Squares.
They have so many bands that play here. Such a good club.
I know. I know. Stern's always getting the best.
New talent passing through.
Yeah, for sure. And they're playing almost kind of like sad tunes. Nothing super upbeat. It kind of gives you that overall feel of a weekday in a bar. You know, not the most, you know, rockin'est time most of the time. But yeah, nothing too exciting going on. Bill has the day off today, so it's that other bouncer that you don't really like. You got to pat you down a little too hard and just nudges you in or whatever. And yeah.
Does he put my pistol behind the bar then? Because I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah.
Since I went to the.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. He pulls it out. He gives you a look. He shakes his head. He puts it away. You know, he's still stunned every time he finds you with it here. He's like, you're never going to bring it. Bill will bring it in here. So what do you have? A kind of thing. But he knows he knows your job.
Yeah. I forgot. I was out. I was doing a thing. I needed to, you know, I need to come in and get a drink, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Sure.
Good on you. Good doing your job there.
Mm-hmm. And he like turns, he doesn't even pay you no mind, basically.
So I think the scene is like he comes in and makes that like everything that you just told me, like Bill's not there. It's kind of slow. Like he's just kind of standing in, you know, there's no foyer, but like just past the door, kind of like in that empty space where nobody's at, just kind of scoping out the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he heads to like a table out of the way, kind of in a corner.
Yeah.
He has some thinking to do. Like, I want a drink, but also like, I don't want anybody to be like, oh, what's in the picture?
Yeah, for sure. So like, and I think I've said this in the past, a lot of the corner tables are the kind of the coveted tables, but since it's a slow night, you're not going to be bothered by anybody or anyone. So yeah, you find a nice one in the southeast corner or whatever, and you just kind of take a seat and reminisce.
I put my back to the wall and I don't take the picture out until someone comes over, gets my drink order, and I have a drink in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
But like he's mulling a lot of stuff over. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, after that, he pulls out the picture of us from the 21st.
Okay. So you kind of reminisce and try to think back on, you know, on your squad and kind of their personalities. You remember vaguely some, well, maybe more than vaguely actually, because you probably have a lot of that burned into your brain. Bill Jones was yeah, no kidding. That's true. Bill Jones was kind of the stud of the group. He was the good looking guy that always had a quick wit about him, was able to, you know, catch the attention of the ladies. Chad Hermans,
before you
kind on, of the beat. Yes. Is
Bill the one that died of cancer?
Oh, I think so. I think that's the guy we talked about. Yep.
Yeah. When Matt came in and we first hooked back up again, he said one of the guys had passed.
Yep.
I think it sounds familiar.
Pretty sure, yeah, because I think if I remember, I think I referenced that guy as one of the guys, and then you actually referenced when you and a couple of guys stole one of the Jeeps, it was Bill Jones and Chad Hermans, I think. So that's why I wanted to make sure I got those names right, so I included them in this picture. Chad Hermans, the beef, he's basically the brick shit house, the guy that you didn't want to mess with. Anytime you needed someone with a nice firm hand, he was the guy that you called upon. Your old buddy Matthew Johnson, he was kind of the clown of the group. Got anybody to laugh, kept spirits high when things were low, you know, just made the best of even the worst situations. Percy Levin was the smarts. He was the guy that anytime there was a situation where you needed to get out of it quickly and intellectually, Percy was the guy that you went to. And then there was Michael Lee Flay. excuse me, I'm so choked up. And then there was Michael Lee Frazier. He was the shot. He was the sniper. He could hit anything from just about anywhere. Very quiet and very kind of to himself, though. Didn't really talk to the group that much, but it seemed like he always felt like he belonged, even though he was very shy.
Do any of these guys look suspiciously like I know what Paul Blanker looks like?
I'm not even going to have you roll for it. With the height and the build of all the guys that you see in this picture, you kind of keep staring, you stare, and you think that, why didn't I notice this before, that Michael Lee Frazier has an eerily resemblance to Paul Blanker?
He would have been the guy that I picked, too. So he's sitting, you know, and he's like, you know, he's got his finger on it, right? And he's just kind of like, you know, moving through the guys, and he's thinking about all the things that you're saying. And then, you know, Michael's kind of like on the end of the picture, and he's kind of there, and like somebody's got an arm around him, but he's also kind of like, even within that group, looks like he's not really in the picture sort of thing. And then he's looking at it, and he taps it once, and he taps it twice. And then he picks it up, and he's like, I just lost the voice. Jesus. Holy shit. Holy shit. You know, and he kind of like, sits up a little bit straighter, and he picks it up, and he, you know, slaps the picture, and he's like, what the fuck? How could I have not seen this before? Jesus, this is, Blanker was in, jeez. But what the hell is he coming after us for? I mean, Bill, God rest him, he had the cancer, but I'm in Boston now. I don't know what's happening. God damn it. Okay, let me think. I got to think this through. So Maddie was running drugs. He was all involved with that Jackson guy. So I guess it makes sense. Maybe he knows something. Maybe he knew something about Blank. Maybe he was working with him. Maybe he supplied him, maybe, or something. Jeez. Then Bill's dead. God rest him. So that leaves at least Chad and Percy. Now I got to try to look up those guys. I think, would they still be in, as far as I know, right? Like, so it wasn't like Vietnam where you did a 13 in and then you were out, right? Like, there were guys that served for like 5 years, right? Like,
yeah.
So as far as I know, they're probably still, it's 47, the war's over. They were in 47.
True.
There's nobody doing shit now.
No, not unless they're doing it because they love it. You know, if they're, you know, still in it, but like doing something else is, you know, another branch or something like that. Or,
yeah, I mean, they could have stayed on. They could conceivably still be in Germany during the occupation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. But we're in 47. Okay. And I assume I know where they're from. Like, I assuming that would have come up in casual conversation.
Yeah, I think so.
Hometowns kind of stuff. Hometowns, baseball teams, all that kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of shit.
Where do you want to say that Chad and Percy are from? I don't want to say they're from New York, because that seems like cheating.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we'll say Chad is from Kentucky, and we'll say Percy is from Philadelphia or Pennsylvania. Sorry.
Probably some little hick town somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Drafted out of a town with like, you know, 800 people in it.
Yep. Because that's the only thing you did.
All right. I kind of like put the picture down, kind of like slap my hand on it. And then I pull the other picture out and I take it out of the frame and I flip it over to look at the back. Like I look at it for a hard minute to see, like, does this kid look like, you know, Michael Lee Frazier a la Blanker a la whatever, like bone structure looks the same. Like, I assume that's him.
Yeah, for sure. So you kind of compare his more recent picture that you have of him to the little kid or whatever, and you can kind of tell the new nuances and stuff like that. You know, like, he even has the same, like, pulled back from the picture with the nun that he did in the picture with the 21st, you know. And then you almost kind of think back to that the day that that picture was taken of the 21st. And you are pulled back into a scene where everyone is just kind of, you know, eating cha, and they're kind of, you know, getting their sustenance and stuff like that. And you see that Michael is kind of in the corner by himself, just kind of cleaning his gun while he's mindlessly kind of eating some food or whatever. And you walk over to him to have a conversation.
Hey, Michael, how's it going? You get enough chow? You feeling okay?
And he is just kind of mindlessly still doing it. He's not looking up at you, but he's like just kind of taking a bite every once in a while and just kind of doing his thing. He doesn't look up for you or whatever. And he's like, yeah, you know me. I don't need very much. I'm just glad that I have what I have, you know.
You want to come over and sit? Chad's talking about his girl from back home.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I don't really get along with girls that well. So I don't know. I'd be kind of uncomfortable. No, I don't think so. You know, it's too many girls at the orphanage where I was at. They always picked on me. You know, I have nothing against girls. It's just, I don't know. Just, you know, I don't know. Just makes me think back to then. So that kind of stuff. I don't want to talk about it.
Is this the first time he's ever mentioned the orphanage?
Yes. This is probably the first time he's ever like told anybody anything real personal.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the impression that I was taking from it. Like, it,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, kind of, it's not like you have a lot of time to just like bullshit because there's a lot of stuff happening.
But
I imagine there is some amount of downtime where the guys like just decompress and,
for sure. There's always conversations here and there, and you know, you are labeled the good guy. You're the one that, you know, everybody can kind of come to if they've got a problem. You know, one of those things where like if they need to trust in somebody, you're the one that they go to. And not necessarily any of the other guys, to be truthful about it.
Am I the oldest guy in our squad?
I would say yes. And old would be like by a year or two, which wouldn't seem like a lot these days, but back then was like almost 10 years, it feels like, between you and the other guys.
I'd have to pull up the background because he's like 30 something.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like he'd be on the older end of the scale by more than a couple of years, maybe. I mean, a lot of people are drafted. So maybe not necessarily. Maybe it's kind of a mixed bag.
Yeah. Well, let's make it more like 5 or 6 years then.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Five maybe sounds
good. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
30. Yeah. So he's like, he says, what does he say? I want to tie it to, because the Great Depression was 33, really pretty much up until the war, right? More or less. The stock market crash, I think, was 32. And then you have the Dust Bowl and the Depression, Great Depression after that. And it was World War II that brought us out of the Depression.
Yeah, 29 to 39 is technically when the Great Depression was.
Okay. So he says, things were rough, back a little ways. My parents, they lost their place, and, you know, we did a lot of moving around before making it out to New York. I guess you got your own sad story to tell.
And he kind of, you can't see it, but you can kind of hear his foot kind of push around dirt. And then he's just kind of like, you and me, we have that in common. I moved around from, you know, house to house. It's one of those things where like, yeah, you're just, everybody thinks these orphanages, they're just like, oh, here's some kid that I can enrich their lives and make them better, and then everything will be fine. But like, everybody always treated me like I was some kind of problem, and everybody was always a bully to me. And he like, you can, as he's cleaning his gun, he's like almost aggressively doing it now and doing it a little bit faster.
Sliding stuff, and he's like, so like it clanks and clicks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And he's not even eating anymore. And he's like, yeah, he's like, these nuns and the kids, they're just, they're just, they're they're bullies. That's all they ever are. They just, they want something from you and you're just, you're not enough for them. And it's just, I don't know. I am sick of bullies and that's why I am here, because the bullies need to pay for what they've done.
I think he's quiet for a minute and like, he's not looking at me. So like, I guess he doesn't like necessarily read it. I think I am going to want to make an insight check. We'll get back to that.
Yeah.
I think he says, bullies, they always get their comeuppance. You know, we had some kid, you know, around the neighborhood who thought he was some pretty big shit until another bigger kid came along and kicked his ass. You know what I mean?
You almost expect him to laugh at that, but he doesn't. And instead, he kind of, he doesn't, I'm trying to think of what he did. It's almost a laugh, but it's more of like a grunt. And he's kind of like, yeah, and not necessarily do you have to be the bigger kid to win. You just have to be smarter.
Yeah, I mean, that's us, right? We made it out okay. We're doing all right. We thumb our noses at him.
And in that, he actually does smile and he kind of slows down a little bit in his adjustments. And he finally looks up at you and he says, yeah, I guess we did.
He says, he's kind of got his gaze. He holds his gaze for a minute and he says, if you don't mind me asking, what happened to your folks? I do mind, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, he's quiet and you can hear his foot shuffling again. And he says, yeah, I think that's enough for today. And he proceeds to start to get up to walk off.
And I think that's the point at which they get the picture. Like Chad's like, hey, guys, come here. Sarge's got a camera or whatever. And I'm like, ah, come here. And, you know, kind of, you know, maybe it's me that's got the arm around his shoulder then. And then he's just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He's got that fake smile. He's got almost that not menacing grin, but almost like a painful grin. As he's just kind of like, I'm in the picture, but he's also like, it looks like he wants to tear himself away from the situation.
Yeah. I kind of want to make an insight check, but also I don't know if there's a point, right? Like, he obviously had a difficult childhood, either lost his parents or they gave him up, right? Or mom, you know, they weren't married. Mom was single. I had to get rid of the kid, you know. Any one of those kinds of things that wound him up in an orphanage, was picked on and feels a kind of way about it, and has sort of made that peace by coming out here and killing a bunch of people. Right. So I don't know that I really, like, that's his impression of it. So that, I don't know the role makes any, like, I think that's just what he takes away from it.
Yeah. I feel like that you've already kind of rolled your insight and gotten it. Just by talking through it.
Yeah. And then I feel like then right after the picture, like, he walks away, like, we turn to, like, you know, everybody starts talking, and as soon as I take my arm off his shoulder, like, he's gone.
Yeah, for sure. It's like, you're always talking and you're like, you're all talking or whatever, and you're like, yeah, Mike, you got, and then you like, you see him like off in the distance, like going back to his, you know, tent or something like that, or barracks or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. I like that. I kind of wanted to do a flashback when you gave me the picture, but I had nothing because it wasn't anything that we talked about. So this is good. I like this.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. Nope. You got me. I got your back.
So I think all that happens before I take the other picture.
Yeah. Perfect.
Because then that ties directly into me then looking at the picture.
Yeah, exactly. For sure. Yeah. And you do the thing where you, yeah, nah, we'll let everybody go through all that. Yeah. So then you pull out the picture, you look at the back of it. It says Michael Lee. God, what did I even name him now? Christ. I just wrote it.
Michael Lee.
I mean, I've had it. I don't know why I'm saying that. I have it here. Michael Lee Frazier. Yeah, it says Michael Lee Frazier, and then it's got a date on it. I'm not going to give it a date because I don't know exactly what the date would be. But let's just say that when his picture was taken, he was like 8 years old.
Okay. Late 20s then, probably, maybe, depending on what his age is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's 47. So 20 years ago would be, well, actually be 17-ish. So, again, depends on his age. So, like,
Yeah.
Maybe mid-20s, maybe.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, cool. Dig it.
All right.
Yeah, and I think he just, you know, same sort of thing. Like, he's just, he's holding the picture, right? Like, it's almost like an intimate thing, right? Like, he takes it out, flips it over, you know, puts crust back, kind of like, you know, has his finger on it, kind of like going through it, reading it, you know, gets the name, you know, taps his finger on it, you know, kind of flips it back over, and he's holding it kind of like, you know, flicks the, you know, like absolutely sort of like flicks the corner of the picture. And it's just kind of lost in thought about all of this.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, unless you want to, boy, I don't know if there's anything to really play out now at the Glow, you know, it's like, you've got a lot to kind of gleam, you know, so let's just say like the music is, again, is very just kind of sad and yet mindful. And it just kind of plays the night out as you just kind of ponder all the information you just got.
Yeah. He doesn't get drunk, but he has a couple of drinks.
Yeah. After that information, you're going to need a stiff few.
Yeah. And he probably sits because it was after dark and it's fall. So, you know, he might not get home until midnight or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's cognizant enough to like check the door, you know, check, you know, flip all the lights on real quick, you know, immediately come in, flip the light on, you know, look around, make sure everything is copacetic. Before jamming the chair back under the door, putting the deadbolt on, all that stuff, taking a shower and, you know, fucking crashing out.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, there's nothing's awry, no notes, nothing to focus on except for the information that you have kind of gotten. And it's been a long day. You're still recovering from your car crash and you pass out and sleep a good sleep.
Let's change that a little bit. When he gets home,
yes,
he puts the pictures on the table. He goes into the closet. I imagine he's got like a small box of like pictures from the war. And I think he sits at the kitchen table for a little while longer going through pictures of stuff. They won't necessarily have him in it, although some of them may, but like just French countryside, the, you know, some of the horrors of things, you know, pictures of guys who have surrendered or, you know, whatever we've captured, like whatever the effluvia of, you know, wartime stuff that, you know, guys would bring home, you know, maybe pours one more whiskey and then crashes out.
Oh, I love it. That's perfect. Yeah. So you sleep, nothing happens during the night. You don't have any dreams. You don't have any nightmares, fortunately. And you wake up full of a good rest. You still have the reminder of how your body feels, but for some reason, but you actually feel a little more refreshed today than you have in days.
I don't think he took a pill last night. I think he's feeling well enough with all the whiskey in him to not bother. If that's more tender this morning, then he would definitely take a pill with his coffee and eggs and all that stuff. And then I'm of two minds to either, right? Like, I don't know. Is everything by operator still?
Yes.
Yeah. You think?
I think so. Well, so it might be both.
Yeah. I just don't know enough about it. Either way, he either dials the operator or, you know, calls 411 or whatever the 1947 equivalent of that is. So he's eating and everything. He's got a cup of coffee and a smoke and he's sitting there cradling on the receiver and he says, I'd like to, could you connect me with, Chad Hermans in Kentucky? I don't have any other information from that. Other than that, we served together overseas. I'd trying to connect with him. 4,000 Chad Hermans in Kentucky.
Yeah. No kidding. I was like, boy, that's a real, it's a real more common name than other ones would be.
Yeah. I don't know what the procedure would be to like, try to get a hold of somebody back then, right? Like now I would just go to Google and be like, Chad Hermans.
Yeah, my guess. Yeah, my guess is they probably have to get, okay, so this is what I'm gonna do. So she's going to be like, she's going to be like, I'll have to have you hold, honey. I might have to call the operator in there in Kentucky. Okay.
Oh yeah. That'd be great. Yeah, sure. Take as much time as you need.
Okay. So I'm just making this up because it feels like it's right. So I'm going to say that she's going to connect with someone in Kentucky, an operator in Kentucky. They're going to do the research and then they will say how many Chad Hermans are in the state of Kentucky.
Yeah. 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 Cause I don't know, like if I know his hometown, mm-hmm. Again, I don't know how much downtime there is for me, you know, like, oh yeah, you know, I grew up in, you know, blah, blah, blah. And my parents have a farm and yada, yada, yada. Like, I don't know. I mean, you might exchange that information. I don't know. Like maybe it's you know, such and such county or something or whatever. I don't know.
You know what? I will have you roll. Oof.
How about trying to think if it's like brains to see.
Brain, yeah, let's do a straight brains to see if you remember what county he lives in, okay. Or like a city even.
What's
we'll have that be a. I'm gonna make it pretty high this time, just because. Well, would I? You know, for him, I'm gonna have it be a 4. It's not gonna be super high.
4, 5, 6, baby.
Nice, nice. All right, yeah. So you find that he, you're like, well, he lives in Louisville. And like some suburb of Louisville. So then we'll kind of retcon it and you'll say like, you know, Chad Hermans, Louisville and this suburb of Louisville, whatever. And she's yeah, like, yeah. Please hold.
And he's home.
There you go. okay. So, and he's home. Hold on. Give me a second.
Unless that fucks you up, then we can make it something else.
Nice. No, because that's like, fine. That's perfect.
This could be like chasing the red herring in a COC scenario.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
There's no information to glean.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, the thing is I was going to roll a die, and then whatever the number was, that's how many Chad Hermans were going to be in that city. Luckily for you, I rolled a 1. So so she's like, oh, yeah, Mr. Chad Hermans, is that what you said?
Yes, Hermans.
Okay, Chad Hermans, yep. Yeah, Mr. Chad Hermans. Yep. And she gives you the number.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
And then he, you know, puts his finger on the button in the cradle. There used to be a cradle for your phone receiver. If you're not 100 years old. And then, yeah, he quickly dials the other number.
Nice, nice. And I think back then, did that cost anything? God, I don't even remember anything anymore. You're calling because I remember back in the day you had to pay $1 million just to even call in the next city. So,
I mean, you had like long distance for your phone back then, mm-hmm. I don't know, right? But like in the 80s and 90s, right? Like if you called someone in another state, you know, it was long distance, like it was a different bill,
rating
or whatever. You know, cell phones back in the day was $1 billion to call if it wasn't after 7 o'clock or whatever your plan was, nights and weekends.
Yeah, I was just gonna look it up just to see. Long distance calls are moving faster.
I mean, I feel like
they have long distance calls.
Yeah, different bill rate.
Yep. Oop. Sorry, I just want to read something quick. Very interesting. Okay, it was just an old ad for long distance. That is cool. I might post that with this episode. That's kind of cool. Okay. So you ring up the phone, it gets a few rings. You almost hear a click, like it's going somewhere else. So that's probably the connection between you and Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And, you hear a very gravelly voice when, he picks up and you hear him say, hello.
Chad, it's Georgie from the 21st. How you doing?
George Armstrong?
Yeah, 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 yeah. You remember?
Georgie. Whoa, wow. This is a blast from the past.
How you been, man? How you making out?
I'm making out. You?
Things are up, things are down. Walking around.
You still walking?
Yeah. They ain't got me yet.
They got you a little bit.
Yeah, they sent me home. When'd you finally get out of there? You served the whole thing?
Oh, yeah, I sure did. And then some. I even stuck by a little bit just to make sure things were copacetic.
Yeah, good on you. What are you doing these days?
Oh, yeah, I'm working the lumberyard, you know, just doing my thing. You?
I'm a private eye now, if you can believe it.
I don't believe it at all.
Yeah, well, you know, I couldn't get back to the shop after the shrapnel in the shoulder, so I had to look up try something different.
Yeah, I suppose you were one of the good guys.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we did what we had to do, right?
This is true.
Hey, ever keep up with any other guys?
Well, it's funny that you say that. I actually, for a long time, me and Bill were back and forth for a long time. God rest his soul.
Yeah, God rest his soul. It's fucking cancer.
Yeah, yep. Tell you, if it's not one thing, it's the next thing.
Yeah, yeah, to survive all that and then come home, and it's a damn shame.
Yep, that's the sheer irony of life.
Yeah, yeah, you're not kidding. You're not kidding. I guess I ran into Maddie the last year. He's doing some work for a construction company up here in up in New York. He wound up in a case that I was working on, and he went away he's still away.
You don't say.
Yeah, he got caught up in some bad shit after he got back. Yeah, it's a damn shame. He was peddling dope and kidnapped some girl. It's a mess.
Wow, that doesn't sound like Maddie at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought so either. Until he tried to shoot me.
You like hear like silence for a while, you know, and like it you can tell you it's all it, like you can almost hear a voice in the back of his head going, "That's not what we do with our brothers," you know, that kind of thing. You know, he's like, "Wow, how far some fall."
Yeah, yeah, it was. I say I was excited to see him, but I found out shortly thereafter he was dating my ex.
Ooh,
bastard. He's probably better off in jail.
I mean, those are your words, not mine.
That's okay. I stand by him. At least she waited till I got out of the hospital, you know?
I guess so.
Like another long pause. Like, wow, this guy's fucked up. Why'd he call me for?
Yeah, no kidding. He's just like, he thinks that this is going to be a fun, like, catch-up time, and you're just dropping all these bombs on him, and he's like talking about Bill dying again, talking about Maddie going away, talking about you having troubles with your ex.
Yeah. We're in a more awakened 1947 when we can share things.
Yeah, 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 exactly. So he's like, well, this is interesting. I haven't heard from you in quite a bit. What seems to be the occasion for the call?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm glad to catch up and you know, talk, see how you're doing. But truth be told, I'm working on another case.
And he like another long pause, and then he's just like, he's like. Yeah, it's like he really can't think of what to say. You can like just what I did. You like lots of pauses. Like he's just like, what? You know, what is going on? You know, he's just like, I don't know how I can help you.
You might not be able to, but have you heard from Michael Frazier at all in the last couple of years?
And he like, you hear him just kind of thinking a little bit. He's like, Mikey. I you know what? No, I haven't. I haven't heard from Mikey since we were serving.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did he wind up staying the whole time? Was he around with you? Did he get transferred somewhere else, you know?
You know, as far as I know, he got transferred somewhere else, and I hadn't heard from him since.
Hmm. Okay, he's...
It was actually quite sudden. Now that you say something, that they never explained to me why.
Well, that might mean anything. It might mean something. It might not. I, you know, vagaries of war and all that kind of stuff. Jeez, we're getting a storm here. Christ. I didn't see that on the news. I hope I don't lose power. I was looking to try to talk to him. I was, you know, trying to track him down. I, you know, came across a picture of all of us together. I thought maybe, you know, if you had talked to him, it might make things a little bit easier for me, you know?
So he's in trouble, you think, huh?
I maybe, I don't know. You know, like I said, I need to talk to him and kind of puzzle a couple of things out here.
I wish I could help you, but I haven't seen him in quite some time or heard from him, actually. You know, most of the guys, you know, I get letters or, you know, a phone call. But yeah, besides them, yeah, I haven't heard much from him or, sorry to bring this up, you.
Like he fucking takes a long drag of a cigarette, blows it up in a way. He's like, yeah, that's on me. I'm sorry. After Evie left and, you know, trying to get everything back in order and, you know, I couldn't go back to work. And it was a bit of a rough time. You know, I'm back up on my feet now. And, you know, things are looking up.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm not trying to bust your balls or anything. You know, when I got back, I had trouble sleeping, I admit, for months. So, you know, I understand.
Yeah. Yeah. I still, there's some nights I wake up screaming.
Mm.
Thankfully, those are a lot less often than they used to be.
I hope so. For your sake.
Yeah. 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 You too. Hey, you, Chad, it was good to talk to you. You know, I'll try to keep in touch a little more often.
Nah, you do that. You know, if you don't really feel up to it on the phone calls, you know, just send me a letter. I'll get back to you when I can.
All right. You know, if you ever up in New York, you know, you come and look me up.
I will do that. If you're back down here, do the same.
I will. I definitely appreciate that. All right, Chad. You take it easy. If you wind up hearing from Mikey, let me know.
Just let me grab a piece of paper and a pencil. I can write you down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't have call waiting like in 2023.
I think you just like Star 69 or something. You call me back.
old people things that a lot of people listening to this will have no clue what that means.
Yeah, he waits for me to get a paper and a pencil. They probably make some more, you know, just like fucking chit chat kind of stuff.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
Gives him the number, you know, promises to call.
nice.
That's interesting. I don't know if I put too much stock in it because it is war, right? I mean, he could have been pulled for, we need a sniper over here because we've got an entrenched whatever the fuck. And
exactly.
Too close to whatever to like just drop a million bombs on it or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Although they did a lot of that anyway.
Yeah.
I kind of assume it's going to go the same way with Percy. Like Mikey doesn't seem like the kind of guy that's going to like call a bunch of people. So he thinks about it and just kind of like waves it off. He downs the rest of his coffee, you know, probably grabs a shower. I don't know what would be the key. I have no idea where the orphanage is, right? It's just the name of the orphanage in the picture of the nun and the kid.
Yeah. Give me a brains check. This one I'll have be a 3 with the DL.
Six, baby.
Nice. You could probably find out from Brian any information about that place.
Okay.
Because I'm sure there's some archives.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure. Like now it's just the internet, right? Like I'm thinking I could go to the library, but would my library in New York have information about an orphanage in Saskatoon? You know what I mean? Like I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. And you might be able to get records from the city hall, but like that even might be more of a hassle than just talking to Brian as well. So who knows?
Could the brains roll instead be me remembering Michael saying something about where he was from? Because I assume at that time it would probably be true. Again, like guys all sitting around like, oh yeah, you know, where are you from? Where are you from? What do you miss most about home kind of thing? You know, bubble. What?
Yeah.
What,
yeah.
I don't know how much he would participate because it seems like we would have to drag information out of him.
Yeah.
So I don't know how feasible it would be for us to get the state that he's from, you know?
Yeah. Cause technically he's probably from a lot of different areas because he's probably moved around a bunch.
Yeah. That's fair. Okay. I want to say yes. And Brian can find that information.
I mean, that's up to you. If you have the end, I'll let you use it as you want.
Is it? I don't want it to be like a cheat or like an I win, right? Like, is that overpowered? Of like,
I to tell you the truth, I don't think so. So if you want to use that, I'm totally up for it. Otherwise, I would have knocked you down right away. I would have been like, nah, that's a little too much.
Yeah.
We'll just have to role play it out.
Yeah. Because he would be in my next call then, probably. Or I would go downtown to go and talk to him. Because I was showing the pictures. Mm-hmm. Well. If he can get it, then we won't need to justify it anymore. I'm trying to think of a justification for them to be like, kids in orphanages are criminals. So, like, they know the orphanages from, like, whatever. Because...
Yeah.
But A, that's shitty. Like narratively, if it's just something that he can find through like a social worker or something, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah. There's probably lots of ways that Brian could help you out.
Cause I have research, cause it feels like more of a research than it would be an investigation.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you wanted to do it yourself, you also could do it yourself.
Where would we look? Right? Like, but because I'm unfamiliar enough to know like what would be like the library would be the first place that we think, right? Because that's where the information is.
Yeah.
But again, would they have information like that about another, like an orphanage in another state? Seems very unlikely. Even if I roll a high number, like it strains incredulity to be like, oh, you find it at your local library in New York, someplace in California or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll go to Brian.
Yep.
I assume it's conceivable that Brian would have contact with social workers.
Yeah, I would assume so. Yeah.
And then that she might be able to, or he, that's an unfair assessment,
mm-hmm.
to help with that information.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, logically to me that makes more sense than like I go to library and find something from that doesn't right, because then they would have a network. So you're like, oh, I can put a call into whatever, maybe it doesn't.
I don't know.
Cut all this out. It's up to you, right? Like you know, we're having a meta conversation about like how is information available.
Yeah I feel like, you know, you were pretty on point about like, let me bring the pictures to Brian, let him see what's going on, show him about this orphanage, see what he can find out and go from there.
Okay. All right. That's fair. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So I get dressed. I do bring strap in the pistol. Working for the mafia, some guy probably wants to kill me. So like, seems like a good plan. He goes to pull out another smoke, realizes the pack is empty because he gave like 3 cigarettes to the guy in the cab. And I think he attempts to walk to the office like he's feeling better.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's storming. I guess I don't. So he goes to, he puts on a, you know, like his long coat and, you know, goes downstairs, hat on, and sort of like waits for a cab to drive by, like standing in the awning, you know, fingers out like, hey, you know, and then gets a ride downtown or takes a ride. Yeah. To the precinct.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah. So you make it there. It's, you know, it's during the day, so it's pretty busy. People kind of going here and there. Surprisingly, not as many people are paying attention to you as you normally would get in the police station, because, you know, back when we first started this thing, about half the precinct was okay with you and half of them didn't like you whatsoever. Right now it seems like people are kind of, you know, doing their own thing. No one's really paying that much of attention to you. So there's like kind of like the front desk or whatever of the precinct.
If there's people in front, he waits. And you know, when it's clear enough, he, you know, steps up and says, George Armstrong for Brian O'Shea.
And the person at the desk is kind of flipping through some paperwork or whatever. They, O'Shea. Yep. He's in today. Give me 1 second.
Yeah, sure. Thanks.
So you kind of hear him walk down one of the aisles or whatever to the back, and you just hear him scream, O'Shea, you have a visitor. And comes back or whatever, and you just kind of wait a little bit, and O'Shea kind of peeks his head around the corner, and he's like, George.
Hey, Brian, how's it going?
It's a busy day today. You?
Not doing too bad. You got a couple of minutes? Can we talk?
Sure.
In your office?
And he looks at the guy that's manning the front or whatever, and he's not paying attention or whatever. And he said, yeah, sure. I was trying to think of something witty to say, but I can't think of anything. So yeah, you guys just kind of you head to his office.
On the way over, like we passed the coffee machine, and he just like stops and pours himself another cup of coffee as we're walking.
Nice.
And then when like Brian looks back and like looks at him, he's like, "Hey, you want one?"
He kind of looks at him like, "Okay, this is not your precinct or whatever." So he's just kind of like, he kind of waves you off or whatever, and just kind of motions you to kind of hurry up.
I kind of like do like half shrug and I take a sip and then I walk into his office.
Nice. Yeah. So he closes the door behind you and he starts to sit down and he's like, "Yeah, must be something important if you're coming down here to see me."
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, he puts the cup down on the edge of the table and, you know, he reaches in and pulls out like he brings like all of the stuff that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, starts putting down the pictures of like him and Jane and him and don't tell me Charlene and the, you know, Beati, you know, all the stuff. And he says, "Our mysterious Mr. Paul Blanker has been quite a busy man. I found all of these at his."
Where'd you find these?
Like, kind of like looks up and away a little bit, and he says, "Do you want to know?"
And he does the thing where he like knowingly is like, "No, I guess I don't want to know."
Suffice it to say, I found where our mysterious Mr. Blanker has been holed up until yesterday. That is.
You don't say.
Yeah. So I was proceeding in my investigation. Someone saw fit to throw a Molotov cocktail through the window of the apartment.
And he looks off to the side a little bit and he says,
shakes his head, this fucking guy.
Yeah. He's like, whereabouts was this place?
He gives him the address.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I have it's written down somewhere. I have it.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Exactly. No, it's fine.
Matt Cronstein, yeah. It was.
Yeah. And he's kind of like, "Ah, that's why it's a little busier around here today."
Yeah, I assume Blanker burned this place out. I ran outside. I didn't see anybody. And the only thing I could grab was these. They were all stashed in a little locked closet. He had costumes and different things in there. They didn't seem worthwhile grabbing. And to be quite honest, I didn't want to be sticking around to see how things turned out, you know?
Yeah, he's like, "Well, it's a good thing you called that anonymous tip. Otherwise, that old lady above his apartment probably would have died."
And he like is halfway to taking a sip of coffee and stops and puts the cup back down. He says, "Brian, I didn't make that call."
And he kind of like looks at you and is kind of like kind of pissed that you didn't make the call. And then he kind of like shakes his head and he's just kind of like, "Well, whoever made that call saved that lady's life."
I mean, I don't know that Blanker is going to save anybody's life. There was a couple out in the yard arguing, so maybe one of them called. They had a pretty good row going.
Well, again, whoever it was lucky that they did. Are you sure it was Blanker that threw that in there, that torched his own place?
Who else could it be? It didn't even look like the place was lived in. I found one cup. There was no pictures. There was no nothing. It looked like a model home. The only thing was a locked closet with all this shit in here. And he like pushes the stuff around on the desk.
Yeah. And he kind of thinks a little bit and he's like, "Well, if what you're saying before is true, if he was this guy that has done some things against these families or whatever, maybe they're trying to get him back. Maybe they found out where he's been holed up and they thought it was you."
So, I mean, it's possible, but if they figured out where he was living at, then what the hell would they need me for? They wanted me to track him down because they couldn't put a finger on him. He all but disappeared.
Yeah. Maybe someone followed you and wanted to make it a two for one. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know. It's just me. I don't trust mobsters. You know, a lot of them say they're good for their word, but I don't know. I've learned to never trust them.
Yeah. I mean, I don't trust DeLuca as far as I could throw him. And it wouldn't surprise me if push comes to shove and somebody gets close to him, he tries to pin it on me. But it seems like cutting your nose off to spite your face if they can't find them and they go and take me out there back where they were in the first place.
Yeah, this is interesting. And then he taps on the photo of the orphanage and he just kind of he taps at that and he's like, boy, I feel like I've heard about this somehow. And he like starts walking out of his office or whatever, and he opens the door and he shouts at somebody. He's like, hey, Arnold, do you remember anything about this Davidson's Angels? And he just kind of like, you hear somebody just kind of go, well, you know, come to think of it, didn't that place burn down? And Brian just kind of like snaps his finger. He's like, yeah. Nah, I remember that place was close to here, wasn't it? And the guy's like, he's like, yeah, I can't think of it off the top of my head, sir, but I'm pretty sure it was pretty close. And he kind of comes back in and he's just kind of like, he's kind of jazzed and he goes and he sits back down. He's like, yeah, I think I remember this. It was a long time ago, but I think I remember there was just this big fire and just burned the place to the ground. And I don't think it's there no more, but it'd be interesting to know where that, you know, what happened and where exactly where it was.
So you're saying that's right here in New York?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was in this neighborhood somewhere. Oh, but for the life of me, I can't think of it.
You have any contact with any social workers, anything like that? Come in, help wayward kids and all that kind of thing?
And he's like, yeah, you know, I don't work with them directly, but I know, you know, a couple of the guys that do, you know, I can run some things past them and I could see what I could come up with.
I mean, if the place is gone, I don't know how much it helps too much, but maybe if they have some records. And he flips the picture over and he taps the name. He says, this is our Mr. Blanker.
Yeah. And he takes a piece of paper and writes it down or whatever. And he says, okay. And he writes Davidson's Angels on it too. He's like, okay. We might have something here. He says. He says, I'm kind of lost in thought here. he says, yeah. He's like, I have some angles now. I could probably check with one of the guys that works with the social workers. If I can get an exact date, I might be able to pull up a newspaper article from the library. We probably could pull that up and we can get information on what happened.
I've got not too much going on. I could head over there when we're done and I'll see if I can pull anything up to speed things along a little bit.
Okay. I feel like things are moving. I feel like things are shaking here.
And then he points to the other picture and again, you know, kind of taps at the picture. He says, this is a picture of us in 21st, meaning in the squad. This guy here on the end, squirrely looking guy. That's Michael Lee Frazier.
Okay. Yeah. So he'll like write down some like traits. He'll be like, yeah, he's like, you know, 6'1". I can't remember. I've described him 1,000 times going through this whole session. And I think he's like 5'10", 5'11", 5'12", somewhere between the end of 5 foot and 6 foot. Yep. Blonde hair, but balding.
I reach into my pocket and I pull out the FBI wanted thing too. When I was leaving the post office, I took a look at the board on a whim and there was an FBI poster for like most wanted. And it was Paul Blanker, but like he had a scar under his eye. He looked a little different than, you know, obviously as he presented himself the other way. And I pull that out and I think it was a sketch. I don't even think it was a picture.
Yeah.
Person of interest kind of thing and a homicide on such and such a street. I don't remember. Again, I have it written down somewhere.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So he'll be like, he'll just kind of look at it. He'll be like, I need this. Can I have this?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. He's like, I got a guy that I
on, you know, 8th and whatever. You know what I mean?
That's pretty surreptitious. He just kind of like looks at her or whatever. He's like, I got a guy I can talk to. All right, we got some moving pieces here.
Yeah, my whole life is moving pieces these days.
He says, yeah, yeah. Well, at least they're moving. Because if they stopped, then ain't nothing going on anymore.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so. Hey, you be careful out there.
Oh, I always do. You too.
Yeah, and he just kind of like pulls his his coat to show that he's got his pistol on him.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, good chat. Hopefully something comes out of it. I'll see what I can dig up at the library. If he's gone to ground, I don't. We might want to get eyes on that building on the orphanage. He might be holed up over there.
I would assume so.
Well, I don't assume anything anymore. The way my last few years have been, you know.
He kind of giggles at that. He's like, I could see that. I understand.
All right. My love to Mary and the kids.
Of course. How about that girl of yours? How's she doing?
He was, again, getting ready to take a drink. He was going to, like, drink the rest of it and leave. So, like, he pauses for a second and then drinks the rest of it and like, gently puts the cup back on the corner of the table. He says, well, I talked to her yesterday. She sounds bad, but she's awake, and it's all that matters right now.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, yeah, thank God. All right, he like, you know, raps his knuckles twice, like on the edge of the desk. He says, I should head over to the library. Thanks, Brian.
All right, no problem.
I'll be in touch.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.